Does God smile at our rebellion because he's a God of love? Is there peace for the wicked? If you say yes, you are quite deceived. God will judge sin, and some of you might be under the false assumption that he won't judge yours. The only way that we escape his judgment is to know him through faith in Jesus Christ. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are cleansed of your sins.
Welcome to this midweek edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we finish our look at the first three verses of the book of Ezekiel.
Yes, we will, Dave. And with that said, we're also going to gain a big picture view of the book of Ezekiel. So turn with us to Ezekiel chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 1 through 3.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He's 30 years old. He's been in exile for 5 years. And notice in the middle of verse 1, he was by the river Sebar among the exiles. Now, evidently, many exiles had settled near the river Sebar. And we see in chapter 3, verse 15, it's described as the exiles who lived beside the river Sebar at Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv, not Tel Aviv, but Tel Aviv, right? So they lived there, okay? So evidently, this Babylonian river, something, it was the Euphrates, was where a city, so it was a river city. When he's at a river city in the river Sebar, okay? And he's at a river city. Okay? And here, he says, while I was by the river Sebar among the exiles, so he's in where they are, okay? The heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. Okay. Now, right here, we see particularly the first vision here, as we'll see, is in chapter 1, verses 4 to 24. And it's often quoted on all the fantastic things that are in there, but the main point is often left out. And we're going to look at that next week. But it is primarily not a vision of wheels, and some people say aliens and spaceships. No, that's not it. It's not a vision of simply angelic beings, creatures, which are there, yes. It's not a vision simply of that. It is a vision of God, as we see the Lord in glory on his throne. Take a look at chapter 1. Let's go down to verse 26. This is after all this really amazing description from verses 4 to 25. We'll get to that next week. He says, now above the expanse that was over their heads was something resembling a throne, like lapis lazuli in appearance. And on that which resembled a throne, high up was a figure in the appearance of a man. Then I noticed from the appearance of his loins and upwards something like glowing metal that looked like fire, and all around within it. And from the appearance of his loins downward, I saw something like fire, and there was a radiance around him. And as the appearance of a radiant cloud and a radiance, so was the appearance of surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice speaking. He is seeing visions of God. Yes, there's a lot of other things, but it says right away in our passage, the heavens were open, and this is a heavenly vision. The heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. If you make this about anything other than God on his throne and what he will say to Ezekiel, then you have missed it completely. If you make it about all the fanciful stuff, you have missed the intent completely. Visions of God. Now, in Ezekiel, it is full of visions. And so we need to gain a foundational understanding of visions for the rest of Ezekiel. And actually, it will help us. You see, I need to warn you, as we begin our study here in this Old Testament vision, there are all kinds of deceived and so-called believers who say they've seen visions. Lest we be deceived and inflate visions with our fleshly minds, we need to remember that God revealed himself in many ways in the past, but now revealed himself through his Son. Hebrews chapter 1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions, in many ways, speaking to Ezekiel, one of the prophets here, right? In these last days has spoken to us through his Son, whom he has appointed the heir of all things. Okay, we don't have visions, except for a time, as we'll see, in the tribulation, when God's plan goes back to Israel for that 7 years. That's what we see in that day of the Lord. Men will see that back in that time, We see that in Joel chapter 2, which Peter quotes in Acts chapter 2. But there are no visions right now. You might remember we have the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We have the full word of God. And you might remember when we were in Colossians chapter 2, what Paul said. Colossians chapter 2, you can turn there, verse 18. Remember what he said about the bad guys who are trying to take them spiritually captive, the bad guys who are trying to delude them with persuasive arguments. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Let no one continue or keep defrauding you of your prize. By the way, that's a serious thing. Eternal rewards by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions he has seen inflated without cause by his fleshly mind, not holding fast to the head. Paul pulls the mask off these spiritual shysters. He says, taking his stand on visions he has seen inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. They're inflated. The word means blown up. And it's blown up without cause. It's all the flesh. It has no basis in reality. Same thing like those false prophets back we saw in the Old Testament. Indeed, I read this earlier in our offering time, but let's turn there again to Ezekiel 13, and we'll see this. Not only were there visions from God, there were false visions also. There were false visions. Ezekiel 13. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel who prophesy, and say to those who prophesy from their own inspiration, listen to the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing. This is like the guys on TBN that say, I'm feeling a prophecy now. Jerry in Kansas, his knee is being healed. I'm sorry, that's not true. Okay, that's false. All right. They've seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets have been like foxes among ruins. You have not gone up into the breaches, nor did you build wall around the house of Israel to stand in the battle on the day of the Lord. They have seen falsehood and lying divination, who are saying, thus the Lord declares, when the Lord has not sent them, yet they hope for the fulfillment of their word. Do you not see a false vision, speak a lying divination when you said, the Lord declares, but it's not I who have spoken? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have spoken falsehood and seen a lie, therefore, behold, I am against you, declares the Lord. So my hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will have no place in my council, my people, nor will they be written down the register of the house of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel, that you may know that I am the Lord. It is definitely because they have misled my people by saying peace when there is no peace. That's the bad guys, okay? So back to our passage, Ezekiel chapter 1. Now it came about in the 13th year, on the 5th day of the 4th month, while I was by the river Shebar among the exiles, the heavens were open and I saw visions of God. Heavenly vision. And we have the commentary, verse 2. On the 5th of the month, in the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's exile, we already saw this is explaining in light of his exile, how long he's been there, 5 years, 5 months. And what happens? This is the commentary on the visions of God. The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi. Anyone looking for a baby name? Buzi is a good one, right? Ezekiel the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and there the hand of the Lord came upon me. So he is with the exiles in Babylon by the river Shebar. We'll see this later on, the same place. And it says the word, in the context of the seeing vision of God, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel, the priest, the son of Buzi. The term expressly means clear, direct, precisely, with certainty. Came with certainty. And we're going to see over 50 times out of the 102 times in the Old Testament, the word of the Lord came to me is here in this book. And this prophetic word of the Lord is the content of Ezekiel, as we'll say. And notice verse 3. It says here, end of verse 3, and the hand of the Lord came upon him. We're going to see that when the hand of the Lord comes upon it, it means it came strong upon me. We're going to see it 6 more times in Ezekiel. We're going to see in chapter 3, verse 4, the hand of the Lord came upon him to be moved miraculously by the Spirit of the Lord. We're going to see the Spirit enters him also. We're going to see that too. We're going to see in chapter 3, 22, it comes upon him heavily to respond to what God is saying. We're going to see it comes upon him in chapter 8, verse 3, to see another vision from God. We're going to see God's hand comes upon him to powerfully open his mouth after he's been speechless, chapter 33, verse 22. We're going to see the hand of the Lord comes upon him mightily in chapter 37, verse 1, to bring him to the valley of dry bones by the Spirit of the Lord. And we're going to see in chapter 40, verse 4, that the hand of the Lord came upon him to bring him to a mountain to see a vision of the future millennium temple. This is talking about God's powerful hand upon Ezekiel in the context of this vision and the word of the Lord coming to him. So that's what we're going to say. Now, let's just briefly, from the time we have remaining, this will be just a real quick overview. Let's take a look at an overview of the message here really quickly. When I began, I mentioned the theme of the book could be stated, "Then you will know that I'm the Lord." 63 times in different forms. "Then you will know, then we'll know, then," you know, it's basically the same form. Ezekiel is about knowing God. You know, Jesus prayed, he said, "This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the one and true God, and your Son, whom thou hast sent." It's about knowing God. Now, you see, sin obscures and perverts our view and knowledge of God. And these Israelites thought they knew God, but they didn't, because sin was preventing their view. And nothing has changed. Many confidently say they follow God and know him, yet because of their actions and what we see, their vision is obscured by sin. Do you have sin that's not dealt with? And I say your knowledge of God has been perverted or twisted or blacked. You need to repent and turn. So the book of Ezekiel reveals the true knowledge of God, and we're going to see it comes in four basic ways, and we're going to see four basic things. First of all, we're going to see it's a message of the transcendence and glory of God. I was going to read chapter 1. You can read it. It's a long chapter. I read part of it earlier. It's about God's transcendence beyond things. He is holy. He is above it all. He is in control of everything. It's about his glory. We're going to see in Ezekiel that the glory of the Lord leaves and departs the temple before God brings his discipline. And we're going to see back in the millennial temple that the glory comes back, chapters 43, as we'll see. And we're going to see that there's hope in this book, that there's hope that God will return one day to Israel. Chapter 43, his glory will return, as I mentioned. And indeed, interestingly enough, we have 20 references to the Spirit of God in the book of Ezekiel. And we have the term Lord appears 400 times or more. "And thus says the Lord" 126 times. And as I mentioned, "Then you'll know that I'm the Lord" 63 times. This is about the Lord. So when you talk to somebody and they say, "We're studying Ezekiel," you say, "Oh yeah." And then you ask them, "Well, you know what it's about?" They go, "Oh yeah, about wheels in the sky." That's what they'll tell you. Dry bones, wheels in the sky. It's not about dry bones and wheels in the sky. It is about the Lord, and those are pictures of what he's doing as he brings those to know him through judgment or through salvation. That's what it's about. So we see that. We see that. And again, it's a message of Israel's sin. Look at chapter 3. We'll see this in chapter 3. We'll see him appointed as a watchman. And then in chapter 18, we'll see it in chapter 33. Chapter 3, verse 17. "Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman to the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, warn them from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you do not warn him or speak out to warn the wicked from his wicked way that he may live," it's to repent, but it's God's desire, by the way, "the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand." You didn't warn him. Okay. "Yet if you have warned the wicked and he does not turn," that means repent, "from his wickedness, from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered yourself. Again, when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and I place an obstacle before him, he shall die. Since you have not warned him, he shall die in his sin, and his righteous deeds which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood will acquire at your hand. However, if you have warned the righteous man that the righteous man should not sin, and he does sin, he shall surely live because he took warning, and you have delivered yourself." It's a message of Israel's sin and warning them about that, right? In chapter 18, the Lord God's going to say, "Behold, all souls are mine. The Father, as well as the soul of the Son, are mine. The soul that sins will die." And later on, he's going to describe Israel as a harlot, an adulterous whore, with sin greater than Sodom. It's about Israel's sin. And yet, even within that, God says, do I take any pleasure of the death of the wicked, declares the Lord, rather that he should turn from his ways and live. Ezekiel 18:23. But if they would not repent, Ezekiel's also a message of judgment. As we saw in Deuteronomy 28, God stated what he would do if his people were disobedient. And we see that. Look at Ezekiel 21. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face towards Jerusalem and speak against the sanctuaries and prophesy against the land of Israel. And say to the land of Israel, was verse 3, chapter 21. Thus says the Lord, because I am against you, I shall draw my sword out of its sheath and cut off from you the righteous and the wicked. Because I shall cut off from you the righteous and the wicked, therefore my sword shall go forth from its sheath against all flesh from south to north. Thus all flesh will know that I am the Lord, who has drawn his sword out of its sheath. It will not return to its sheath again. As for you, son of man, groan with a breaking heart and bitter grief and groan in their sight. And it will come about when you say to them, why do you groan? That you will say, because of the news that it's coming, and every heart will melt and all hands will be feeble, every spit will faint and all knees will be weak as water because, behold, it comes and it will happen, declares the Lord. It's going to happen. Their judgment is imminent. And indeed, we see in the first warnings throughout these chapters, the warnings up to chapter 32. Now, as I shared, the book of Ezekiel is centered around the third and final siege. First 24 chapters, oracles leading up to the siege. Chapters 25 through 32, prophecies during the siege. And chapters 38 through 48 reveals what happens after the fall of Jerusalem. And we'll also see that God reveals his judgment against the nations. Judgment against the nations who cheered and who opposed Israel, even in their exile. We just talk to each single nation and talk about their judgment. So then, does God smile at our rebellion because he's a God of love? Is there peace for the wicked? If you say yes, you are quite deceived. God will judge sin, and some of you might be under the false assumption that he won't judge yours. The only way that we escape his judgment is to know him through faith in Jesus Christ. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are cleansed of your sins. Jesus took our judgment. He took God's wrath upon him on the cross. But if you reject Jesus and you think you're good with God, you're deceiving yourself. You're under a false assumption. You are on your way to judgment. Repent and live. Then lastly, Ezekiel is a message of future hope and restoration. Future hope and restoration through the King who will come, Jesus. You might note, some of you on a side note, that only three prophets wrote books while not in the land of Israel. Ezekiel, Daniel, and John. And each one of those books, what do they have in common? They're apocalyptic. What does that mean? They all use highly symbolic language inspired by the Spirit to describe God's coming judgment. Indeed, we see Ezekiel quoted directly or indirectly 48 times in Revelation. So to understand Revelation, we need to understand this, right? Yet with judgment, there is hope. We see it back in earlier chapters, chapter, I think it's 13, but look at chapter 36. This is a book of hope. Chapter 36, verse 23. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God. We're going to see that. God is going to do it through judgment of Israel and purging them, but he's also going to know, the nations are going to know he's Lord through saving Israel. That's why it's such an abomination to throw Israel under the bus and throw it out of Scripture with a theology that is from Satan. Israel will be restored. Israel will be saved. Notice what he says here. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when I prove myself holy among you in their sight. For I will take you from the nations and gather you from the lands and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness, from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh. I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And you will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. This is speaking of Jews that get saved, by the way. You can't say it any other way unless Satan has blinded your mind, okay? The forefathers. So you will be my people and I will be your God. That's the new covenant. Forgiveness of sins, word on the heart, obeying the Lord, walking in his statutes, he being our God and we being his people, but here specifically of the Jews. Tremendous, tremendous. But we're also going to see this comes through a shepherd. Look at chapter 37, 21. And say to them, thus says the Lord God, because I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, I will gather them from every side, verse 21 middle, to bring them into their own land, and I will make them one nation in the land among the mountains of Israel, and one king will be king for all of them. And they will no longer be two nations, they will no longer be divided into two kingdoms, and they will no longer defile themselves with idols or with detestable things or with any of their transgressions, but I will deliver them all from their dwelling places which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So speaking of salvation, by the way, we have Israel in the land right now, but they're in unbelief. They're not cleansed yet, okay? They're dry bones, okay? They got no flesh. They're dead. They're in the land. They're dead. He says here, and they will be my people, and I'll be their God. That's salvation, by the way. That's saved people. And my servant David will be king over them. That's speaking of the covenant to David that on his throne one will reign forever, and that is Christ. And they will have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances, keep my statutes. This is millennium, by the way. My statutes, observe them, and they shall live on the land which I gave to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived, and they will live on it, they and their sons' daughters forever. And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. And I will make a covenant of peace with them. It'll be an everlasting covenant with them. I'll place them and multiply them, and I'll set my sanctuary in their midst forever. My dwelling place will also be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And all the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. Nations in Israel. You can't say the nations are Israel. There's nations in Israel, right? It's very clear. It's a message of hope and restoration. And I'm not going to read this, but in chapter 43, we see the glory of the Lord returns to the millennial temple, returns when they're saved. So then, Ezekiel is a message of the knowledge of God, knowledge through judgment or through salvation. It's a message of God's glory. It's a message of sin and judgment. And it's a message of hope. It's a tremendous book. Now, although we're not Israel, this is our story also. A story of sin and punishment, and a story of potential, possible salvation through King Jesus, who whom will be our King forever. It's your choice today. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you repent and believe in Jesus Christ, you'll be forgiven of your sins, and you will live forever, and you will know the Lord. But if you reject him, if you think you're fine, you'll know him someday. You'll know the Lord, but it'll be through judgment. But I pray that is not the case. What will it be? Then you will know that I am the Lord, he says.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, give me some ways to begin to apply this message to my life today.
Well, Dave, as we're going to see as we go through this wonderful book, the applications are endless, but yet they have one core theme, which is centered around the phrase, "Then you will know that I am the Lord." You see, Ezekiel is about knowing God, gaining a true knowledge of him, and it's either through judgment or through salvation in Jesus Christ that one finds the true knowledge of him. So with this in mind, I began talking about false assurances, and they're deadly. If you believe that you're right with the Lord when you're in sin, you have a false assurance. You see, God wants you to know him now in grace before you will know him in judgment. You see, if you know him in grace, then you will not go to judgment. Turn to Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and rose from the dead. Believe in him, and you will be saved.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.